This is the NBC Theater. From the NBC Theater in Hollywood, we bring you an hour-length dramatization of one of the great midsummer novels, Mark Twain's enchanting story of a very special boy, Huckleberry Finn. Today's radio adaptation is by Ernest Canoy of NBC, and it begins as follows.
Persons attempting to find a motive in this narrative will be prosecuted. Persons attempting to find a moral in it will be banished. Persons attempting to find a plot in it will be shot. By order of the author.
I'm Huck Finn. You don't know about me without you read a book called Tom Sawyer, but I'm Huck Finn just the same. If you did read that book, you remember Tom Sawyer and me found some money hid by robbers in a cave. Judge Thatcher, he's about the smartest man in all Missouri. Well, he put the money out at interest. Before I was rich, I used to live in the woods, free and comfortable-like. But after we found the money, the Widow Douglas allowed she'd civilize me. It was awful, considering how dismal, regular, and decent the widow was in her ways.
Huckleberry, I will not have you smoking. It's a mean practice. And tain't clean. Besides, 14's too young.
That's the way it was. What with new clothes and Bible reading and spelling books, I was ready to cut and run. One night she was at it worse than usual.
Huckleberry?
Yes'm.
Don't scrunch up like that. Set up straight.
Yes'm.
Can't you stop squirming so? Huck Finn, have you got your shoes off?
Yes'm.
I declare, sometimes I'm afraid you're going to grow up just like your father. Land of Goshen, Huck. You might as well go up to bed. I can't stand your fidgeting.
I sat by the window in my room, just staring. I tried to think of something cheerful, but it weren't no use. I got so downhearted and scared that I lit my pipe and didn't care if the widder smelled it or not. Then a twig snapped down in the yard.
Meow. Huck. Huck Finn.
Meow. That you, Tom Sawyer?
Yep. Come on down the drain pipe. We're having a meeting by the graveyard. Over here, Huck.
Shh. Tom, I see you.
Who's there?
Blast it, you woke Jim, the widow's slave. Come on, Tom.
Who is you? I thought the old wind. That's all. Just the old howling wind around us.
You went inside. Come on.
What is all this, Tom?
We're going to start a band of robbers. Call it Tom Sawyer's Gang. Everybody will have to sign an oath in blood.
Blood? Land, why?
So he won't tell us secrets about who the gang kills and all. If he does, he gets his throat cut and his carcass burned up and has a curse put on him.
That's a powerful good oath.
And then the gang kills all his family, too.
What about me? I ain't got no family.
Well, you got a father, ain't you?
Oh, you can't never find Pap these days. He used to lay drunk with the hawks in the tanyard, but he ain't been seen for a year. Wait a minute. You could have the Widow Douglas to kill.
I reckon that'd do. She's most family.
What's the line of business for this here gang, Tom?
Nothing much. Only murder and robbery.
Who are we gonna rob? Houses and cattle and things?
Not us. Stealing cattle and such ain't robbery.
What is it?
Burglary. And we ain't burglars.
No?
That ain't no sort of style.
What's our style, Tom?
We're highwaymen. Real style. We hold up carriages on the King's Highway and kill people.
It sounds all right. Who do you figure on highwaying first?
I got secret news from my spies that a whole parcel of Spanish merchants and rich Arabs with 200 elephants and 600 camels...
Elephants and camels? Ooh, I'd sure like to see them.
You'll be seeing them all right, Huck. We're going to lie in an ambuscade.
What's an ambuscade?
Oh, it's in the books. That's where the highwaymen always lie.
Is it like a swamp?
I reckon it's like a swamp.
I don't fancy lying in any swamp, Tom.
Blame it all, Huck. We've got to do it. Anyway, all them elephants and camels, they're going to be encamped at Cave Hollow tomorrow afternoon.
Now, wait a minute, Tom Sawyer. That's a Sunday school picnic going to be in Cave Hollow tomorrow, and you know it.
It'll just look like a Sunday school picnic. It's really Arabs. It's all done by enchantment. If you read that book, Don Quixote, you'd know all about it.
Tom, don't you get mad now, but I judge all that stuff one of your book lies. Maybe you believe in them Arabs and elephants, but I'm going back to my room.
New clothes, huh?
Pap! How'd you get in my room?
You think you're a big bug, don't you?
Maybe.
Don't give me no lip. I'll take you down a peg before I'm through. Getting educated, ain't you? Read and write, too. Well, answer.
Yeah.
Who told you you could meddle with that foolishness, huh? Who told you?
The widow, she told me.
Oh, the widow, huh? Well, I'll learn her to meddle. Lucky now you dropped that school, you hear? Putting on airs, letting on to be better than your father. You hear, Huck?
Yes, Pap.
Ain't the man to stand it. Now, let me hear you read here. Take up this book.
Well, General Washington made his headquarters 3 miles... Oh!
Can't do it. Look at that, a bed, a looking glass, a carpet. And your own father got to sleep with the hogs in the tanyard. They say you're rich, got money. Have you, huh?
I ain't got it. Fool.
It's a lie. Judge Thatcher's got it, and you're going to get it for your old father. I'll take you to law. Now, come on with me.
But the widow, she...
You were coming when your pap says so. Are you? Huh?
Yes, Pap. Pap took me upriver in a skiff, across to a cabin on the Illinois shore. He spent the time getting drunk and licking me with a cowhide strap. He got right handy with a hickory, too, and I was all over welts. He locked me in for 3 days running and then came back drunker than ever.
All this government? That's what I said, just look at it.
Pap, look out for the stool.
There's a law taking a man's own son away from him. His own son, after I had the expense of raising him. Me, what should be the richest man in town? That's what I told him. Me and lying in the mud in the gutter. Huck. Jug's empty. You've been stealing my liquor?
You drunk it all, Pap.
Here, you see? All that government when a man can't even keep a full jug. You stay here, boy, you hear? I'm going to town for whiskey, and I'm cutting a 3-inch hickory on the way back. I'll learn a boy to say he's better than his pap. When I get back, I'm going to see what color your backbone is. You hear?
Pap was so drunk he forgot to lock the door, and I wasn't going to wait for him to come back. I loaded up a drift canoe we'd hauled in. Then I took Pap's gun and shot me a wild pig and bled him all over the cabin floor. I bloodied up the axe good and stuck some of my hairs on it. I reckon they'd figure robbers got me and dumped me in the Mississippi, and that'd be the end. Then I cut for the canoe and shoved out into the river. About 2 miles downstream, I pulled up on Jackson's Island. It was gray dawn by now. There was freckled places on the ground where the light sifted down through the leaves. A couple of squirrels sat on a limb and jabbered at me friendly. I jumped, though, and I smelled smoke. Somebody had a campfire going on Jackson's Island. I went cautious and slow, but not slow enough. I stepped on a twig and it cracked like a rifle.
Who's there?
Jim? That widow Douglas's Jim?
Huck. Is that Huck Finn here? What are you doing, Roman?
I ran away from Pap, Jim. He was just about going to finish me. I fixed it so it looked like robbers got me.
No. Say, that's even better than Tom Sawyer could have done.
Hey, what are you doing on Jackson's Island?
Well, maybe I'd better not tell.
Why, Jim?
There's reasons. You wouldn't tell on me, would you, Hook? You promise?
Sure, Jim, I promise.
Well, I run off.
Jim, how come you do a thing like that?
Well, old Widow Douglas, she said she'd never sell me off down to New Orleans. But I heard her tell Miss Watson she was a goner for $800. I didn't wait to hear no more. I lit out for the river, and I swam over to the island. You won't tell, will you, Hook?
I said I wouldn't.
Old Jim can help you, Hook. There now. Hear them birds? That sign is going to rain. We'd better find a cave on this here island. It's going to rain powerful.
Pretty soon it began to rain fearful, so the birds was right. It rained for about a week, and the river was rising fast. All sorts of things began to pile up on the island. We fished out a big piece of raft we figured we could use. Once even a house came sailing down and grounded on a snag. Jim looked inside and came out with some old clothes he found. I put on a calico gown and a sunbonnet, and loud I'd paddle over to the Illinois shore and find out what was up.
Come in.
Howdy, ma'am. I don't want to disturb your knitting, none.
Why, that's all right, little girl. And what might your name be?
Sarah Williams from Hookerville, ma'am. I'm going to my uncle in Goshen.
Well, that's a considerable way. You'd better stay here and rest a while. Take off your bonnet.
Oh, no. I reckon I'll be going on soon. I ain't afeard of the dark. Though I do hear there was a murder near here.
That's right. A boy named Huck Finn.
Ain't that a shame?
Lands, it's horror. They do say he was a wild good-for-nothing. A hard lot, that Finn boy.
I allow there's a lot worse, ma'am.
If there is, his father must be one of them. It's rumored about that the father's the one who killed him.
No, is that so?
Old Finn come near to getting lynched, but no one could find him. But now folks judge it was done by a runaway slave named Jim.
But he...
There's a $300 reward. My husband's going to look for him as soon as he gets back from town. Somebody saw smoke on Jackson's Island.
Jackson's?
Here, honey. Wind this yarn around your hands like a good girl.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
Your husband's going over to the island?
He went up the river to borrow another gun. What'd you say your name was, honey?
Mary Williams.
Thought you said Sarah when you come in.
Yes'm, I did. It's Sarah Mary Williams.
So that's the way of it. Sarah, catch this yarn in your lap. There.
Got it.
Come now, what's your real name?
What, ma'am?
Is it Bill or Tom or Bob or what?
Please don't poke fun at a poor little girl.
Now you sit down. I ain't going to hurt you. Now, just tell me your secret, son. I'll keep it. I expect you're a runaway apprentice. Now, tell me about it.
Oh, yes, ma'am. I run off from the farmer I was bound to. They beat me something awful. I've been traveling 3 days.
You're a farm boy, eh?
That's right.
Quick, when a cow gets up, which end gets up first?
Hind end, mum.
A horse?
Forward end.
Which side of the tree does the moss grow on? Fast now.
North side.
If 15 cows is browsing on a hillside, how many east with their heads pointed the same way?
The whole 15, mum.
Country boy, all right. Now, what's your real name?
George Peters, ma'am.
Well, remember it, George. Don't be telling me it's Alexander later.
It's George, ma'am.
And don't try to fool a woman in that dress. And mind you, when a girl catches anything in her lap, she throws her knees apart to spread her skirt. She don't clap them together the way you did to catch that yarn. Now, trot along, Sarah, Mary, Williams, George, Alexander, and keep out of trouble.
Jim! Jim!
Here I am, Hook, in the bushes.
Get up and hump yourself, Jim. There ain't a minute to lose. We gotta get the raft out on the river. They're after us. That night we run between 7-8 miles. It was kind of solemn drifting down the big, still river.
We tie up days and lay low, and cut loose after dark. The fifth night we passed St. Louis, and it was like the whole world lit up. While we drifted, I told Jim stories I'd read at the widow's about kings and dukes and such.
Hook, I reckon kings must be powerful rich.
Oh, they're rich, Jim. Crawling rich.
How much do they get?
Get? Why, they get $1,000 a month if they want it.
Ain't that gay. And what do they do, Hook?
Nothing. They just sit around. Except maybe when there's a war. And sometimes they fuss with the parliament and whack off a few heads. But mostly kings just sit around.
Huckleberry Finn, I wish I were a king.
You can't be. You ain't smart enough. To be a king, you gotta be like Solomon. King Solomon, they say he was the wisest man that ever lived.
Huh. I don't take no stock in that.
Well, he was the wisest man. The widow told me her own self.
He weren't neither. Does you know about the child that he was going to chop into?
Sure.
Well, then, suppose I'm Solomon, and you's a woman, and that keg is the other, and this here piece of bread is the child. Both of you claims it. Do I find out among the neighbors who it really belongs to? No. I take and whack it in two. Now, what's the use of half a child?
Oh, but hang it, Jim. You clean missed the point 1,000 miles.
No, I don't, Huck. The real point's down further. Down deeper.
No, it ain't, Jim.
It's this way. Just the way Solomon was raised. He don't know the value of no children. What with those wives he had? And about 5 million children running around? What's he care about a child? He just lie, cut him in two. That's what he do.
I never saw such a man. You got it all upside down wrong.
Me? Go along. A man can't settle a dispute about a child with a half a child. Don't talk to me about Solomon. He don't know enough to come in out of the rain.
So we floated along, arguing pleasant-like. We figured 3 nights more had fetched to Cairo, and then we could take a steamboat up to the Free States and be out of trouble.
Look sharp, Huck. Because if we miss Cairo, I'm in a slave country again. And no more show of freedom. No, sir.
I don't know, Jim. The fog's pretty thick.
The first thing I'll do in Free State, save my money. Never spend a single cent. No, sir. And I'll get enough and I'll buy my wife off old man Parsons' farm. And I'll buy my children free. When they get to Cairo, I'm going to be free.
Listening to Jim, I began to get all feverish with bad conscience. Because I begin to think he's most free and me to blame for it. I couldn't get it out of my conscience. I tried to make out to myself that I didn't run Jim off from his rightful owner. But my conscience ups and says, you could have told. What's poor widow Douglas done to you that you help her slave run off? She never done you no harm.
And I'll steal my two children free off with me to the north.
You hear that talk, Huck Finn? This is what comes of you not thinking. Here's this Jim coming out flat-footed and saying he'd steal his children. Children that belonged to a man I didn't know, who never done me no harm.
That's it. That's Cairo at last. I just know it.
You don't look right to me, Jim. I'll just take the canoe and look.
Pretty soon I'll be jumping for joy. And I'll say it's all on account of Huck. I was a free man. And Huck done it. Jim won't ever forget it. No, sir. You're the best friend Jim ever had. The only friend Jim's got now.
I took the canoe and started out for shore. I was all in a sweat to tell on Jim like my conscience said. When I was about 50 yards off the raft, I heard Jim across the water.
There goes old True Huck, the only friend that ever kept his promise to old Jim.
I felt real sick, but I says, I gotta do it. I can't get out of it. And I paddled over to shore. There was a fella standing on the bank with a gun.
You belong on that raft, boy?
Yes, sir.
Any men on it?
Only one, sir.
Well, there's 5 slaves run off last night from upriver. Your man white or black? Well, boy, what a black.
He's white.
I reckon I'll go out and see for myself.
I wish you would, mister. It's Pap, and he's mighty sick. Uncle John already died from it. Pap's got the I mean, he's all over spots.
What? Listen, boy, you got smallpox on that raft? You get that canoe back in the middle of the river here. Don't you go land a smallpox these parts now. Get.
Jim.
Here I am, Hook, in the water. I was going to swim for you to come aboard. My, how you did fool him, Hook. That was the smartest dodge. I expect it saved old Jim. Old Jim ain't going to forget you for that.
We run downriver the rest of the night. Jim straining his eyes through the fog to see Cairo. The mist came in so thick we couldn't even see the lights on the Illinois shore. We asked the fella. He cussed and told us Cairo was still way downriver. Then when daylight come, I dipped up some water to drink.
Look at that, Hook. That's clear old high water inshore. Not the old muddy Mississippi.
We went by Cairo in the fog last night.
Oh, don't let's talk about it, Hook. Poor slave can't have no luck.
Well, we should have asked again, Jim. I should have...
It ain't your fault, Hook. Don't blame yourself for it.
Hey, that steamboat's coming pretty close.
He means to shave off our steering oar, Hook. Them pilots don't care about no raft.
Well, pull the sweep, Jim. Pull.
Ain't no use, Hook. He ain't run over us just for devilment.
Hey, you. Cheer off. Cheer off.
Jump, Hook. Go down deep under the paddle wheel. Jump.
Talk about bad luck. I couldn't find Jim in the raft till the next night. We had to fix the steering sweep, and this time Jim fixed a wigwam on one end of the raft for bad weather and all. Well, then 2 or 3 days or nights went by, quiet, smooth, and lovely. Then one morning, just as we were getting ready to shove off, we heard a monstrous cry of dogs in the woods. Untie the rope, Jim. There's somebody coming through the brush.
Hey there, boy. Wait.
Let us on that raft. Matter of life or death.
We ain't done nothing, and they'll kill us.
Phew. Oh, young man, you saved our lives. I'm sure this gentleman is as grateful as I.
Don't you know each other?
Never had the pleasure. We met on the footpath outside town. That's quite a stride you had, old-timer. How come you was a-running?
Well, I was conducting a little temperance revival. Here as much as $5 or $6 a night when one of the faithful found me chummy with a jug. Mm. Had the tar a-boiling, the rail out, so I didn't wait for breakfast. And you, my friend?
Well, sir, I've been selling an article to take the tartar off teeth. Mm. It does take it off, too. And the enamel with it. I stayed about one night longer than I ought to have. Old man, I reckon we ought to double team it.
Sounds right to me. What's your line, mostly?
Journeyman printer by trade.
That ain't what they run you out of town for.
We wasn't run out, boy. We made a rapid exit. What else do you do, friend, aside from printing?
Well, I do a little in the patent medicine way. Theater actor. Tragedy, you know.
Is that a fact?
Take a turn to mesmerism and phrenology, too, when there's a chance. Teach singing, geography school sometimes for change. Sling a lecture sometimes. Do lots of things. Just so it ain't work. What's your line?
Well, I'm a man of science. Done considerable in a doctoring way in my time. Laying on of hands is my best holt. I can tell a fortune fine, too, when I got somebody along to find out the facts for me. Preaching's a good dodge, too. Working camp meetings, missionary rounds.
That sounds all right to me. Yes, sir, old man, I reckon we ought to double team.
Well, I've been looking for a partner, it's a fact.
Look, I hate to butt in here, but I figure as you're riding our raft, maybe one of you'd man the sweep for a while.
The sweep? Oh, the sweep.
That's right, we take turns.
I see. Alas.
What are you laughing about?
To think that I should be leading such a life.
Sounds like a pretty good life to me.
To think that I should be degraded down to such company.
Well, ain't this company good enough for you?
Oh, I reckon it's as good as I deserve. I did it myself. I don't blame you, gentlemen.
Well, that's big-hearted of me, ain't it, boy?
Yes, sir.
He looks powerful sad, Hook.
The world is a brutal place, and it'll go on without me. Someday I'll lie down and forget it all. And my poor broken heart will rest.
Well, drat your poor broken heart.
Alas.
What are you heaving your poor broken heart at us for? We ain't done nothing.
No. I know you haven't. I brought myself down. It's right that I should suffer.
Where was you brought down from?
Oh, you would not believe me. The world never believes. Let it pass. 'Tis no matter. The secret of my birth.
What?
Gentlemen, I have confidence in you. By rights, I am a duke.
No, you can't mean it.
I am the rightful Duke of Bridgewater, and here I am, torn from my estate by a usurper. Despised by the world. Degraded to the companionship of felons. On a raft.
There, now, don't cry.
Well, I'll be.
It would make me a trifle happier if you called me Your Grace. Or even Bridgewater, that's my title, you know. And of course, gentlemen, I cannot do any manual labor.
Ah!
Well, I guess you can't stand watch then, Your Lordship. The other one will have
Look
to...
Look here, Bilgewater.
Bridgewater.
I'm a nation sorry for you, but you ain't the only one been snaked wrongfully out of a high place. I, too, have a secret of my birth.
Now, look at that, huh?
Bilgewater, can I trust you?
To the bitter death.
Well, I am the late Dauphin.
The what?
The disappeared Dauphin. Louis the 17th, son of Louis the 16th, and Marie Antoinette, the rightful king of France.
At your age?
And I would consider it a kindness if you would address me as your majesty. And naturally, that is, of course, I cannot stoop to menial labor.
Well, that's too much. I won't swallow that. No, sir.
See, boy, the Duke is jealous.
I sure wish Tom Sawyer were here.
King. Him, the disappeared king of France.
Ah! Bilgewater, I'll tell you something. Like as not, we got to be together a blamed long time on this here raft. So what's the use of being sour?
Well, I don't mind a small lie, not a bit, but this...
Tain't my fault I was born a king instead of a duke. Tain't your fault you was born duke instead of a king. What's the use to worry? Make the best of things the way you find them. That's my motto. Now, come on. Give us your hand, Duke, and let's all be friends.
Well, I reckon that's the way it'll have to be.
Gory, Hook. Ain't it grand to have honest-to-goodness royalty on the raft?
It didn't take me long to make up my mind that these liars weren't no kings or dukes, but I never said nothing. We kept Your Grace and Your Majesty in them, and everything got along fine. I told him Jim was my property, and I was taking him down to my Uncle Ben's place below New Orleans.
You sure he ain't a runaway slave?
Would a runaway run south?
Well, and how come you travel at night?
Well, folks kept trying to get Jim away from us, saying he was a fugitive. They don't bother us none at night.
We'll figure something out about that. And speaking of figuring, my dear Duke, it's time we laid out a campaign.
Well, just by chance, my dear Dauphin, I have here in my carpet bag several playbills left over from my last engagement in Drury Lane Theater, London.
You mean theater acting?
Have you ever trod the boards, royalty?
No.
You shall, fallen grandeur. The first good town we come to, we'll hire a hall and do Romeo and Juliet.
Well, it's all right with me if it pays, Bilgewater. I don't know much about play acting, though. I was too small when Pap used to have him at the palace in France.
Well, don't worry. I'll learn you. I'll be Romeo, and you'll be his pretty sweetheart, Juliet.
Now, wait a minute. Juliet's a young girl, Duke. Ain't my peeled dome and white whiskers going to look uncommon odd on her?
Don't worry. These country jakes won't ever think of it. Well, gentlemen, I've been up to the village. Had quite an afternoon working in the local print shop.
Working?
In a manner of speaking.
Oh.
I took in $10 worth of advertisements for the town newspaper, sold 3 cut-rate subscriptions. Total $9. Not counting this jug.
But it ain't your paper to take ads for.
My boy, you haven't the proper outlook.
And what's more, I fixed it so we can travel in the daytime. Here.
It's a slave handbill. Runaway named Jim. St. Jack's Plantation, New Orleans. $200 reward.
This way we can make out we're taking him down for the reward. And here. Here's my masterpiece. Look at that beautiful typography.
Shakespearean Revival, One Night Only.
The world-renowned tragedians, Edmund Kean, the elder of the Royal Haymarket Theatre, Puddin' Lane, London.
That's you.
And David Garrick, the younger of the Drury Lane Theatre.
That's me.
In the sublime Shakespearean spectacle, the balcony scene in Romeo and Juliet. Admission, 25 cents. Ladies and children, not admitted.
And if that don't get them, I don't know Arkansas. Well, Your Majesty, we got to rehearse some more. And we got to figure out some encores.
What's encores, Bilgewater?
Never mind there, Dauphin. I've got one for you that'll just set this town back on its ear. Tonight, Majesty, the play's the thing.
From Hollywood, the NBC Theater is bringing you a dramatization of Huckleberry Finn by Mark Twain. We will resume with Act Two after a brief pause for station identification.
We tied up at the next town, and the Duke went out and hired the courthouse and stuck up the bills. It weren't much of a town. The streets was mostly mud, and there hadn't been any paint on the houses since Columbus's time. The men stood around leaning on something and whittling. They spent most of their time borrowing tobacco like this.
Give me a short tobacco, Hank.
I ain't got but one chaw left. Half bill.
He ain't got none. Let me one, Hank. I just this minute give my last to Ben Thompson.
You give him a chore? So did your sister's cat's grandmother. When you pay me back all the chores I gov you ready?
I did pay you back some once.
About six chores. Barry's store to Becky and go back homegrown.
What's that?
Somebody sicking dogs on a sow. Come on, let's go see.
Well, that's the way life went in that town. Turned out there was a circus that day, and along about noon there was quite a crowd, and somebody sets up a holler.
Hey, here comes old Boggs in from the country for his monthly drunk. Here it comes, boys!
Wonder who's he gonna chaw up this time?
Well, he never hurts nobody. He's the best-naturedest fool in Arkansas, drunk or sober.
Swiggin' old gold.
He's a skunk and he done robbed me, y'all hear? And I'm gonna fix
Hark!
It.
It's the Colonel.
Well, there he is. I'm gonna fix Hark! It, Kurt.
I'm tired of this.
I warned you last week not to open your mouth against me.
Get him, Boggs. Come on, come on.
Well, I don't care. I'm a mean, tough grizzly, and I ain't a...
Boggs!
Get him, Boggs.
Stand back.
What are you doing? Hurt him. Colonel, you ain't gonna shoot me. Oh,
he killed him. Old Boggs never done no harm.
You ought to get sharper.
The idea of your lynching anybody. The idea of your thinking you had pluck enough to lynch a man. If any real lynching's going to be done, it'll be done in proper Southern fashion. You'll come at night and bring your masks and plenty of liquor for quick courage. Now get out before I let go of this shotgun.
That crowd just broke apart and went every which way. And the colonel, he just shouldered his shotgun and marched away. Later on, I see two little children playing Boggs and the colonel and shooting each other down. And everybody said they done it perfect and gave him pennies. That's the kind of a town it was. That night we had our show. They finished Romeo, and the Duke made an announcement.
And now, for an encore, Mr. Keene will perform the soliloquy from Hamlet.
A what? Some kind of ham. Now, sit still and listen.
To be or not to be, that is the question. That makes calamity of so long life. For who would fardels bear till Burnham Wood you come to Dunsan End? But that the fear of something after death murders the innocent sleep. Great nature's second course, and makes us rather sling the arrows of outrageous fortune. What sought you, the fair Ophelia? Ope not thy ponderous and marble jaws, but get thee to a nunnery. Go. Go. Go.
Twenty-eight. Not bad for a one-night stand, eh, Majesty? Yeah. Shall we return to our boudoir and sample this here imperial nectar?
Well, Jock, now you're talking, Bilgewater, give her here.
Hook.
Yeah, Jim?
Don't it surprise you the way kings carry on?
Nah, I reckon it's in the breed.
But, Hook, these kings of irons are regular rascandals. That's just what they is.
That's what I'm a-saying. They all is, mostly. Take old Henry VIII. Why, you ought to have seen him when he was in bloom.
What did he do, Hook?
Well, he used to marry a new wife every day and chop off her head come morning.
Ooh-wee.
And he'd do it just as indifferent as if he were ordering eggs. Fetch up Nell Gwynn, he'd say. And the next morning, wham. Compared to them old-time kings, honor a bunch of lambs.
I guess kings is kings.
Light for your pipe, Jim?
Oh. Thank you, Hook. You know, I was thinking, Hook. I was feeling real bad.
Why, Jim?
What makes me feel so bad is because I hear something over yonder, like a whack or a slam. A while ago, and it reminded me of the time I treated my little Elizabeth so ornery. She was only about 4 years old, and she took scarlet fever and had a powerful rough spell. Then one day she's better, and she just stand there, and I say, shut the door. And she never done it. Just stood there kind of smiling. Make me mad. I said it again mighty loud. Shut the door. But just stood there. Same way, kind of smiling. Never paid me no mind. And then I fetched her slap side of the head. But she just stand there. Just then, along come the wind and slammed the door behind that child. Kablam! And she never moved. My breath most hopped right out of me. Then that door slammed again. And she don't never budge. Huck, I just bust out crying. I say, Lord God Almighty, Forgive poor old Jim, because he's never going to forgive himself as long as he lives. Huck, that little child, she was plumb deaf. And I'd been treating her so. And I ain't never going to see my Elizabeth again. But maybe, Huck, maybe I'll buy a freak. That's what I'll do. I'll buy a freak.
We was down south now. We begin to come on trees with Spanish moss hanging down, like long gray beards. The king and the duke were plumb out of money again. Finally, one town they tried selling fortunes, but they near got tarred and feathered. Next town after, they sent me up to buy a jug. And when I got back, there weren't nobody on the raft. Jim, the king, or the duke.
You looking for somebody, sonny?
Yeah, mister. You seen a slave somewhere abouts? Big fella.
Well, sir, they caught him a runaway.
No. A runaway?
Yeah. Down to Silas Felt's place. They're holding him for the reward. You looking for him?
Nobody got hurt, did they? I mean, when they caught him.
No. And there's $200 reward for him. Like picking money out in the road.
It sure is. I wish I had it. Who nailed him, mister?
Oh, old fella, a stranger. Sold his chance in the reward for $40 because he can't wait, had to get up river.
An old fella, huh, mister?
Yeah, old goat with whiskers. That's right, son. Had him a handbill with his slave's picture on it and all. Sold him for $40. Boy, if it was me, you bet I'd have took the whole $200. Yes, it's just like picking money out in the road.
I sat there watching the river and thinking till I wore my head sore. After all this long journey, them scoundrels had the heart to make Jim a slave again. And all for $40 dirty. I thought maybe I should write the widow where Jim was so he could be with friends anyway. And then I thought it'd get around that Huck Finn helped the slave get his freedom. And I couldn't stand that. Then I got to thinking about our trip downriver. And Jim saying I was the only friend he had left in the world. I figured I might as well be good and wicked. And for a starter, I'd steal Jim out of slavery again. I started over to Phelps where the fella said they had Jim. It was all still and Sunday-like. When I got there, the dooryard was empty, and off in the slave cabin, I heard a spinning wheel humming, wailing along up and sinking down again. And I wished I was dead, for that's the lonesomest sound in the world. Then suddenly the dogs was piling out of the house. Hey, here you. Get down.
Here,
go on.
Here.
Get down.
Down, Tiger. Down, go on.
Afternoon, ma'am. This Phelps?
Why, it's you. It's you at last, ain't it?
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Why, you don't look at all like your mother said.
I don't.
Silas! Silas, come on out. It's Tom.
What's that?
Lord's sakes, I'm so glad to see you. Come on out here, Silas. It's your nephew, Tom. Come to see us. And us not setting eyes on him for 10 years.
Welcome, boy. We've been expecting you a couple of days or more. That riverboat running behind schedule again?
Well, it was,
Where's your baggage, Tom? Down to the steamboat landing?
I lost it when the boat went aground.
Land sakes, where'd she go aground?
Well...
Speak up, boy.
Well, it weren't the ground, and that didn't keep us back but a little.
Weren't the grounding? What was it, then?
We blowed a cylinder head.
Good gracious. Anybody hurt, Tom?
No, I'm just killed a deckhand.
Well, that's too bad about your baggage, but I reckon we can fix you up.
Oh, here we are running on, and you ain't told me a word about the family up the river.
I ain't.
Now you just sit down and tell me everything. Just all about them. Every last thing you can think of.
Well.
Cat got your tongue, boy?
No.
Why, son, you're standing like you don't know your own name.
Well, I...
Well, from what I heard, I never thought I'd see the day I'd hear stuttering and lollygagging from Tom Sawyer.
Well, ma'am... Tom Sawyer. By giants, I almost slumped through the floor. That's who they took me for. I told them more about my family, I mean the Sawyer family, than could have happened in a million years. Then I says to myself, suppose the real Tom comes down on the steamboat and sings out my name before I can throw him a wink to keep quiet. I was all in a sweat, so I told the folks I had to go into town to mail a letter. And there, coming up from the wharf, sure enough, I met Tom.
Huck, I never done you no harm. What'd you want to come back and haunt me for?
I ain't come back. I ain't been gone.
Honest Injun, you ain't a ghost?
Honest Injun.
Well, looky here. Weren't you even murdered at all?
Nah, I played on it.
Now, weren't that a grand adventure? Yes, sirree. What are you doing down here, Huck?
Listen, you won't tell nobody, Tom. There's a slave here I'm trying to steal out of slavery.
Huck?
His name's Jim. Old Widow Douglas is Jim.
What? Why, Jim is...
I know what you'll say. It's dirty, low-down business, but I don't care. I'm low-down, and all I want you to do is not let on. Will you, Tom?
Huck, I'll help you steal him.
No.
You tell me where he is.
Well, he's at your Uncle Silas's place. And that's another thing. I don't know what we're going to do. They think I'm Tom.
Well, that is gay. But never you mind, Huck. I'll tell him I'm my own brother. Sid, that's me. When it comes to adventures, you just leave everything to me. Looky here, Huck. I'll bet I know where Jim is.
No, where?
In that little hut down by the ash harbor. Didn't you see that slave woman going in with the victuals?
Well, suppose it was for a dog.
Part of it was watermelon. You never saw no dog eating watermelon. No, sir. That's where Jim is. And we deduced it real detective style.
Tommy, if I had a head like yours, I wouldn't trade it off to be a duke, nor maid of a steamboat, nor clown in a circus.
It's nothing. Just observation. The trained eye. Well, Huck, how about a plan for stealing Jim off?
Suppose I get my raft upriver here. In the first dark night, we can steal the key out of the old man's britches and run off downriver the way Jim and we used to before. Wouldn't that plan work?
Work? Sure it'd work. But it's too blame simple.
What do you mean?
Why, that plan of yours ain't got no style at all. It's mild as goose milk. I've been reading all about escaped prisoners. And you gotta do these things right, with fancy touches. You leave everything to me, Huck. You meet me down by the ash hopper after dark, and we'll get started. Huck? Huck?
I'm right here, Tom.
Look at that old cabin, will you? A fortress, waiting to be stormed. Too bad there's no moat.
Looks like a rickety old shed to me. Hey, that window's only got one board nailed across. That's big enough for Jim to crawl out of.
I should hope we could find a more complicated way than that. We'll have to dig him out.
What? Tom Sawyer, are you crazy? You could pull the board off in that window with one hand.
If that ain't just like you, Huck Finn. Ain't you never read no books at all? Who ever heard of getting a prisoner loose in an old matey way like that?
All right, Tom. Now, don't take on... We dig him out.
You know, there ought to be a watchman to drug. And a saw to cut off Jim's chain.
Tom, you know right well that chain's only around the bedpost, and all we gotta do is lift the bed.
No, we gotta do it right. Saw the bed. Swallow the sawdust so no one can tell. And when you're ready, one kick and off you go. But he'll need a rope ladder, Huck.
Oh, Tom, how you talk. What in nation would he do with a rope ladder?
Well, I ain't figured that out yet. But he's got to have one. It's in all the books.
Well, I figured Tom knew what he was doing. Didn't make sense to me, but he kept talking about the man in the iron mask and Casanova and other book folks. So I just done what he told me and kept shut. He gave me a list of stuff to get. Well, I called it borrowing, because that's what Pap called it. But Tom said it weren't borrowing, it was stealing.
Don't you know, Huck, that all state political prisoners steal the stuff to escape with?
But Jim ain't no political prisoner. He's nothing but a runaway slave.
You hush up, Huck. We gotta get this stuff into Jim.
I'll just rip the board off in that window.
Hold on! Didn't I say we gotta dig in? It's regulation.
Well, all right, if you say so.
Get your case knife out, Huck, and start.
Case knife? Since when ain't a pick and shovel good enough to dig out a runaway slave?
There ain't no other way I read but of case knives, and we gotta do it that way. It may take years and years.
Years?
Sure. Why, one of them prisoners in the Shadow Deef and Marcel's, why, it took him 38 years to escape. And he come out in China.
But Jim don't know anybody in China.
Neither did the other fellow. Huck, why do you keep wandering off the main point?
Well, I don't know about them books, Tom. But I'll tell you, Jim's just too old to be dug out of there with case knives. He just won't last. I finally talked Tom into using picks, but he said he let on it was case knives to keep the whole thing regular with the rules. In the meantime, old man Phelps wrote to the plantation down in New Orleans that Jim was supposed to have come off from. Of course, there weren't none. Then he began to talk about advertising Jim in the papers, and my blood run cold. Finally, I got Tom to agree to finish out the plan that night. But Tom, he added one more fancy touch. He wrote an anonymous letter to Uncle Silas warning him someone was trying to run Jim off. So when we come to get the captive loose, blamed if we didn't get the warmest reception I ever see.
There they go!
Tom Sawyer, you and your anonymous letters.
Ain't it glorious? Keep down under the bush.
Where's Jim?
I'm right here, Huck.
Come on, we got to cut for the river. Ready, Huck?
I don't like them shotguns.
Let's go.
There they go! They broke for the river!
Shove the raft out, Jim. There we go.
Yes, sir. Ooh-wee.
You're a free man again, Jim.
And it was a mighty good plan, Huck. I bet nobody could get up a plan what's more mixed up. Ain't that right, Tom?
Hey, what's the matter, Tom?
You hurt, honey?
Nothing much. I only got a bullet in my leg.
Well, here. Let me see. We got to stop this bleeding, Huck.
We got it. An elegant escape, just as slick as nothing at all. Oh,
that leg don't look so good to me, Tom.
Well, Huck, the way it looks to me, if it was Tom being shot free and old Jim been shot, Tom would say, we gotta get him to a doctor. Never mind about me. That's Tom Sawyer. And that's just what Jim gonna say. If I gotta be a slave the rest of my life, we're going to get Tom to a doctor.
Tom argued, but Jim and I was firm, and we pulled the raft in and toted him over to where we could find a doctor. Tom sent me off to scout around before the doctor come. And what did I do but bump right into Uncle Silas, shotgun and all. I lied some to get out of it, but they took me off home, and I didn't know what had happened or anything. Till next morning when a wagon drove up to the door with a crowd of men around
it. Laws alive, what happened to you, boy?
Dr. Alden, what's wrong with him?
Hi there, Mr. Phelps. Youngster seems to run into a bullet.
Oh!
Here now, here, easy, man. Oh. He's all right now.
Sure, Aunt Sally. Just limp a little.
And I brought you back the runaway slave.
We'll tie him up right this time. Why, I ought to take a lash.
Now, hold on. He's all right. Well, he could have got plumb away, but he stayed on to bring the boy to me so as I could doctor him. He was hiding in the bush, but the minute I said I'd need help somewhere, out he come. And he was risking his freedom for that.
Yeah, what I can't figure out is who left all them crazy notes and that rope ladder and the rest of that truck. This slave must have had an army helping him.
Well, no, Uncle Silas. We set the runaway slave free. Tom and me.
Good lad.
Are you crazy, boy?
We done it. And we done it elegant, right out of the books, didn't we, Tom?
Well, yes, and we did.
Mercy sakes.
I never. Well, anyways, you're safe. We better shut him up and tie him up good. Come on, you.
Yes, sir. Goodbye, Huck. Tom.
Hold on. You ain't got no right to shut up, Jim. He ain't no slave. He's as free as any critter walks this earth.
What?
Sure. Widow Douglas died 2 months ago and left Jim free in her will. Because she was ashamed, she said she'd sell him downriver. Why, he's as free as you are.
Then why on earth did you work so crazy hard to set him loose?
That's just like a woman. For the adventure of it, that's what.
Adventure? Why, let... Silas, if this boy didn't have a bullet hole, I'd have you tan the hide right off of him. Adventure! Whew.
Well, there it was. And pretty soon we had to own up that Tom was really Tom, and I was Huck Finn. And you should have seen Aunt Sally then. Lance. Tom was for the three of us sneaking out to Injun territory to have some howling adventures.
I don't know, Tom. It don't sound so good to me.
I ain't got the money to buy the outfit. I figure Pap's drunk it all up by now anyways.
No, Huck. He ain't coming back no more.
What do you mean, Jim?
You remember that house was floating down the river, and there was a man in it covered up, and I didn't let you in? Well, Huck, the dead man in that house, that was your paw.
Well, now, I guess there ain't nothing more to tell about it, and I'm rotten glad of it. Because if I'd known it was so much trouble, I wouldn't have tackled it. But I reckon I'll have to light out for Injun territory for the rest of them, because Aunt Sally says she's going to adopt me and civilize me, and I can't stand it. I've been there before.
You have heard Huckleberry Finn by Mark Twain, as adapted for radio by Ernest Kenoy. Be with us again next week at the NBC Theater for a presentation of one of the classics among detective stories, E.C. Bentley's mystifying work, Trent's Last Case. The following week, we will return with another Mark Twain classic, A Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's Court. In today's cast, Jerry Farber was Huck, Noreen Gamill was the Widow, Henry Blair was Tom, Felix Nelson was Jim, Lou Krugman was Pap, Parley Bear was Duke, Jack Crucian was King, Larry Dobkin was Boggs, Frank Gerstle was Sherburn, Georgia Backus was Sally, Charles Seal was Silas, and Anthony Barrett was Alden. Your announcer, Don Stanley. The NBC Theater is produced by Wade Arnold. The director of the NBC Theater is Andrew C. Love. This program came to you from Hollywood. What's on NBC today? Listen today as Sam Spade cuts another caper, and then stay tuned for Pierre Montour conducting the NBC Symphony Orchestra's summer concert with Dorothy Maynor as guest soloist. Right after the NBC Symphony, be sure to hear Lona Massey starred in Top Secret. Stay tuned here for the best in radio entertainment. This is NBC, the national broadcasting company.